سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The question is, does Allah stop a person from having fun? Does Allah restrict you to enjoy? Think about this. What would we say to that? Is Islam stopping us from enjoying and having fun and seeking pleasure? And if the answer to the question is no, then to make a statement that says that Allah does not stop you from having fun, or Allah does not stop you from enjoying and seeking pleasure, even though it's correct, but it's inaccurate. It is inaccurate. In fact, it's an understatement. The question Allah is asking us is, why aren't you having more fun? Why aren't you enjoying more? Why aren't you seeking more pleasure? That's the question that Allah is asking us. Islam is encouraging people to have fun, to have more fun, to enjoy more. And this obviously might seem surprising for many because of the fact that religious people have given a wrong impression of religion. People who follow religion, they have given a complete inaccurate idea of what religion is, and hence in their minds they think that Islam is stopping them from seeking pleasure and seeking enjoyment. And because of that, many people think that this is what Deen stands for, this is what Islam stands for. And hence now what we are going to discuss in these days that I'm here is in regards to this subject, which is known as lazzat, or pleasure. Not only does Allah stop you from seeking pleasure, in fact He demands that you seek pleasure. And if a person does not seek pleasure, if he is not enjoying himself, if he is not having fun, then he is disconnected from Allah. He is disconnected from spiritual growth. A person who is not happy and he is not truly having fun does not have a relationship with Allah. And if he does, it's a misguided relationship. This is what we are going to discuss about. Now obviously I'm just introducing the subject today so that we can actually start to learn. This is a subject that we deal with 24/7 in our life. Every moment in our life we are dealing with this subject. And because of the fact that it's such a sensitive subject, it's a subject that truly when I will raise it, you will see how far it goes into how much we think every day of our lives. then this is the subject that really, if a person pays attention to it, then he will have a true and accurate understanding of what actually does Allah want from him, and what is his relationship with Allah, and what it should be based on, and what it should be based on. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Because if it is said that Islam or Allah does not want you to have fun or does not want you to enjoy or seek pleasure, then really what would happen is that it would give the opportunity to shaitan to misguide people by saying that, listen, Allah is stopping you from seeking pleasure and enjoying, so it's going to get boring there, and if you do get bored, come over here, the party's at my place. Mm-hmm. Right? The party is here. You know, I mean, you come here and people will be like, yes. Because why? Because when we look at it, enjoyment and pleasure, Allah has put in our nature. Everything that you do in life is based on seeking pleasure. No one does anything to seek pain. No one goes through anything in life trying to look for pain and tragedy and suffering. Everyone does whatever they do in order to seek pleasure and to enjoy and to reach a state of happiness. No one's trying to do anything to become sad. It's a different thing that they, you know, that things happen in their life by which they become sad, but they're not trying to do that. No one goes out of their home and say that, you know what I want today is a good accident. Let me go there and, you know, try to seek an accident, you know, so I can, you know, be miserable. No one does that. And that's why you see everyone leaves home or does things in order that they enjoy, in order that they seek pleasure. That's why we do things. And why? Because it's in our nature. Our nature is to seek pleasure. Our nature is to enjoy. And if we start to fight against our nature, the only thing that will lead to, if we do that, is that we are going to get frustrated, miserable, and ultimately depressed. Because it's going against what we are about. We are about pleasure. And this is what needs to be understood. Yes, life is full of difficulties. Life is full of difficulties, hardships. Life is always, you see, something or the other happening. It is difficult. And you are reminded of that at the beginning of every month when you get your bills. Right? You're reminded of that. This is it. You know, and those bills don't end. Those invoices don't end. You have to pay up. It is difficult. And hence what happens is that this difficulty of life, it's there. What Allah wants to do and what Islam wants to do, my friends, is to raise a person in such a way that with all and in spite of all the difficulties in life, that he should be enjoying and having fun. Yes. The enjoyment is in spite of the difficulties. That's what we need to think about right now. What is it? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This subject is so important to such an extent that if a person for a moment in his life, a moment goes by in his life that he does not enjoy, that he does not have fun, he has detached himself from Allah. He has disconnected himself from spiritual growth. Even for a moment that goes by in your life, if you did not enjoy, really, that is a moment that you are disconnected from Allah. How and why will come later. I'm just introducing the subject. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Seeking pleasure is so important in Islam that a mu'min not only is supposed to be happy, but his character, his quality of a mu'min is that he makes the people around him happy. That's the way a mu'min should be. She should be someone who is smiling, and his smile and his happiness rubs off on other people and make them happy. This is a mu'min. You want to meet a mu'min, you will see that he's so happy that when you meet him, you will be like smiling. That's the way it is. Now, if you see someone who is like miserable, right, who takes on a miserable face, he needs to ask himself, is he a mu'min? What's going on with him? Right? Really, a mu'min, a believer, is someone in no matter what situation he is completely enjoying the moment. And he's making other people enjoy around him. This is the sign of a mu'min. We have hadith regarding that. When a mu'min deals with others, when you're around him, you see that he's smiling and others are smiling. In fact, you know, you see certain people who are smiling so much, you know, that you're like, you know, upset with them, you know, why is he so happy, you know? What happened? You know, he's smiling all the time. Why? Because of the fact, I mean, that will come later, but he is like that. And why? Inshallah, it will come. That's what this is important. This is about, my friends. Because really, Allah is like looking at you and saying, why aren't you happy? Why aren't you having more fun? Allah, we should have more fun. Should I have more fun? He said, don't listen to these religious people. Go and have fun. That's what Allah is saying. And this is really where we are going to get into things and try to break some idols that have misconceptions that truly are blocking our way and path from happiness and from enjoyment and from pleasure. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If a person makes others like miserable, he has to deal with angels. And dealing with them is not a pretty situation, right? If you make others miserable. Really, there's hadith regarding it, right? That says that, listen, you live your life such that you make other people's lives miserable and not make them enjoy life and not make them be happy in life, then you will have to deal with angels who are going to now record what you're doing. And then when they come down to taking account of you, it's not going to be pretty. La ilaha illallah. You know, the complications of life that we have in life are there so that we can enjoy ourselves and our existence and our life more. That's why the complications are there in life. If life didn't have complications, our life will be boring, our life will be unexciting, our life will be really unenjoyable. It's like, for example, a video game. I remember the time when I was young, right, we had, the best video games we had was the Magnavox or Atari. I don't even know if you know their names, you know. They're not even found in the museum of games, right? That outdated. When we were young, we were playing those games, right? And you would have games like, for example, you're driving a car, and you know what, it's going on plain dust, that's it. You're just driving, it's just going, the car is going. Nothing's happening, there's no other cars, there's nothing. It's just, going. And you know what, now we were excited to play that, right? You know, we'd be there for about 15, 20 minutes, just driving the car, and we are hoping something would happen. If kids nowadays, if you give them that game to play and they're just driving a car where there's no accidents, where there's nothing happening, no shooting, no busting other people or nothing like that, if you just go on doing that, they'll be there for 10 minutes seeing this scenery go by and by, and at the end they'll be like looking at themselves and saying, this is retarded. It is like that. It is retarded to be in that situation where you're just like going like that. You see that? The reason obstacles are put in the game, the reason levels are put in the game is so that the game becomes exciting. It becomes more fun to play. Allah, when He gave us life and He put us here, He has given complications in life in order that we enjoy life more. If these complications weren't there, it would be so boring that we'd be scratching our head and saying, listen, you know, there needs to be something happening. Come on. We love enjoyment. That's why we like controversy. Look at that. People love controversy. If everything's going well in the masjid, no one's happy, you know? They need certain controversy in order to make it exciting. Right? That's the way it is. We, you know, why? Because we're not enjoying life, so we need to enjoy something. And controversy is something like that. You enjoy it. This is how we are. It's in our nature to do that. It's there in our nature to do that. We can't just be happy with a boring life. We need certain exciting things happening. Allah gave us these obstacles in life in order that we, our lives, can be exciting and we can have more fun and enjoy it more. That's where it's coming. How did He do that and why? That will come later. Right? As I said, these things are things that we are going through in life every day. And it's deep down in our heart, these questions. But what happens is that we don't raise it because sometimes it becomes disrespectful to raise questions like this. And that's why we want to talk about it candidly, in order that these things that are so crucial in our growth, really they're so crucial in our growth that we are hidden from. And we want to make sure that we address them and understand what is the right path, what is the real way to get to Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah says in the Quran that life is a game. Right? In the mahayatu dunya illa lahwan wa la'ib. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوًا وَاللَّعِبٌ. He says the life of this world is nothing but a game. And a game is supposed to be fun. A game is supposed to be fun. Allah is saying it's a game. Right? Why are we taking it seriously? I don't know. It's supposed to be a game. This world, life of this world is supposed to be a game. That's what Allah is saying in the Quran. So now, what does that mean? My friends, Allah wants you to have fun. He built us, He created us with the nature of seeking pleasure. And hence, He wants us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy every moment of our life. Every moment that we go through, He wants us to enjoy. In fact, we owe Allah that we should enjoy. We owe that to Him. We owe that to Him, that we should enjoy every moment that we are living here. You know what this is? Let me give an example so you can understand from it. Send the salawats. You know, I don't know, where do you take your children in Houston to have fun? Galveston? I don't know. Where?
Water park.
The water park, alright, you take them to the water park, right, wherever you go, right? We have Disney, so, you know, I usually give example Disney or Universal in Orlando, so, but since you have the water park, right, let's say, you know, you take one day off, and you take your children to the water park, you pay the money to get inside, you buy the ticket, you go inside the water park, and now when you see the different rides the children are going on, so now tell me, what is your expectation from the children when they are in the water park? What do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to be? You expect them to be happy, right? Now let's say they're not happy. They're sad, or they're crying, or they're gloomy, whatever the case is. If you see your children like that, what would you say to them? What would you tell them? Why aren't you happy? What's wrong with you? Right? Because you expect them to be happy. You brought them here to be happy. You paid money in order that they be happy and enjoy themselves. My friends, Allah put us on earth in order that we enjoy. A moment that passes where we are not enjoying, then Allah is asking the question, why aren't you happy? Why aren't you having fun? I put you here to have fun. Why aren't you having fun? La ilaha illallah. Allah demands us that I brought you here to have fun, and we owe Allah that we should be happy and having fun. Wow. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Really, my friends, if a person spends a moment of his life not happy and sad, if he spends a moment of his life not having fun and sad, then that is a moment to look at and do istighfar for. You need to ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah, I'm sorry, I did not enjoy that part. You need to ask Allah's forgiveness for those moments. Look at those moments in your life and see, what happened? Why am I sad? Why am I not happy? And every moment that goes by like that, you need to say astaghfirullah. Allah, I seek your forgiveness for not being happy. La ilaha illallah. All restrictions of deen are made in order that we enjoy. So, only one thing I'll mention here, two things, you know, and then we'll go forward from this, right? Many things, obviously, as I said, this is just an introduction to the subject, and I'll go into each and everything I'm saying in detail, so that it really comes out, and we start understanding what it actually means. You know, imams were mazloom because of the fact that they were not given the opportunity to make an environment where people can enjoy. That's why they're mazloom. Why is Imam Ali mazloom? He was not given the opportunity in which people can really be happy and enjoy, can seek pleasure. Why was Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein mazloom and oppressed? You really think it's because of the swords and these type of things? They were here to make an environment by which we can enjoy. We can truly be happy. We can truly seek pleasure. And they were not allowed to do that. You see, this is the reason why they are oppressed. La ilaha illallah. Well, inshallah, just one thing I'll say about enjoyment, right? What is pleasure? Is there any restrictions on pleasure, my friends? Right? Maybe you might be thinking that, you know, because a lot of times religious people or certain, you know, people who are learned also will say that, you know what, there's pleasure in ibadah than worship. So what does that mean, you know, that other than worship there is no pleasure? Are there any restrictions on pleasure? The answer is no, there is no restriction on pleasure. What can we enjoy and what we can't enjoy? You can enjoy anything. You can take pleasure in anything. Yes, there is no restrictions. Because it's in our nature. You can't be restricted. It's there. But in order for something to be pleasurable, it has to have three things in it. Three conditions. If that is fulfilled, you can enjoy anything. Anything. Three things, my friends. Pay attention, so that you know what and what I can't enjoy, or what is pleasure. What is this pleasure that Maulana is talking about? Three things I will mention, so that we understand it. Three things that you need in order for something to be pleasurable and that you can enjoy. The first thing is that whatever you're enjoying must be lasting. It shouldn't be temporary. It should be of a permanent nature, not temporary. That's the first condition. You get into something that is temporary, you see that it's not enjoyment. Because whatever is temporary is going to stop and you are going to get a downside to it. Yes. It should be deep and profound. It shouldn't be superficial and trivial. Whatever you're enjoying should be deep and profound, not something superficial. The third thing is that that thing which you're enjoying must not be detrimental. It must be positive. So for example, if you're enjoying something that will stop you from enjoying everything else, then what's the use of this enjoyment? That's not pleasure. For example, you take drugs. You take drugs, if drugs are going to make you stop enjoying everything else, then this is not pleasure. This is not pleasure, because it's going to stop you from taking advantage of many other things. Right? So it shouldn't be detrimental to you, really. Because what happens is this, my friends, everything that is not lasting, that is not profound, and that is detrimental, will have a downside to it. There's a concept behind that. Let me give an example, you know. I knew this one brother in New York who used to go out in the streets and preach long time ago. Right? He used to preach on the streets. Our Mormon brother, right? He used to go out there and preach all the time, you know, in the streets, you know, talking to the people in the hood and everything, you know. So what happened is that, you know, there was this guy, junkie, came to him, thought he was a dealer. So he said, "You got something?" And he was dressed like that too, you know. So he said, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking to get high." He said, "Oh yeah, I got something for you." "I got something for you, really?" "Yep, I got something so good, and it'll make you go so high that you'll never come down. You'll never come down from there." He says, "Really, what's that, you know? What's that? Here, let me introduce you to Islam." Right? "You take Islam, it will make you go so high, and all these other drugs will make you go high, but eventually you're going to come down. And when you come down, you're going to feel terrible. Right? And you hate that, right? So let me give you something that will make you go so high that you'll never come down from it. It will keep you high all the time." My friends, the idea, the concept behind it is the same thing that Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, spoke about to the worshippers of the sun and the moon. He says, that thing cannot be God or good that has a rise and a fall. God can only, and good can only rise. It cannot have a fall. Understand that. Good can only rise. It can't have a fall. That's why pleasure and things that are pleasurable are things that can only make you go up. They don't make you come down. This is what needs to be remembered when we are speaking of pleasure. Anything is pleasurable as long as it's lasting, as long as it's profound, and as long as it's not detrimental. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Oh, and based on this, all the restrictions of Islam, all the haram and wajib and whatever it is, are based so that we can have more fun, my friends. Because these are there in order that we have more fun. And that's it. I'm introducing these subjects and making these statements. The proof of that and the reason for that truly is life-changing. When we actually get into it. La ilaha illallah. Allah, the concept, you know, what do we think about Allah? Did Allah create us in order that He can inconvenience us? Why did Allah create you for? Look at it, answer it with your heart. Allah, why did you create me? You created me so that you can put me through problems and annoy me and, you know, make my life miserable? Is that why you created me? Is that why Allah made wajib and haram? Look at it, my friends. Truly try to understand it deeply. Why did Allah, what did you create me for? Friends, you'll see that Allah did not create you to inconvenience you or to bother you or to trouble you. He wants you to have fun and enjoy and seek pleasure. That's what He wants. He wants to see you smiling and happy all the time. That's why Allah. My friends, enjoyment, lazzat, and pleasure is the characteristic of a good life. Really, it is the characteristic of a good life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Alright, I'll stop the introduction here for today. I'll just read a few words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And inshallah we will gain something from that to see what he says regarding the subject before I go forward, because people might think that, you know, hey, Maulana's talking about something, you know, why is he talking like that, this and that. Well, you know what, I wouldn't dare talk about subjects like this unless the Imams taught us these things.
No way.
Unless the Imams taught us these things. That's why we are here for, to learn what the Imams have said. I just take the time to give you examples so that it can fit in your life. Right? What does Imam Ali say? Let's look at this, right? This is a letter that Imam Ali wrote to Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr, who he had appointed as the governor of Egypt. Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr, you know, is the son of you know who. So, and he was raised in the house of Imam Ali. Imam Ali raised him, brought him up, right, and treated him like his own son. And he had appointed him to go to Egypt to become the governor there. When he sent him off to Egypt, so Imam Ali wrote a letter to him as instructions. As instructions, and in that letter, Imam Ali described the qualities of a muttaqi person. You know what a muttaqi person is? Someone who's pious, someone who has taqwa. He describes muttaqi people in this sermon of his, in this letter of his. Let me read that for you, and you can also go back and read it. It's there in Nahjul Balagha, and you can read this letter, right? He says, وَعَلَمُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Know, you servants of Allah, أَنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that the muttaqeen, ذَهَبُوا بِعَاجِلِ الدُّنْيَا وَعَاجِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. They have left this world, and they have gone, they leave this world, and they go to the after. فَشَارَكُوا أَهْلَ الدُّنْيَا فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ. They share this dunya with the people of dunya. They are sharing this dunya with the people, the other kuffar and all of those people. They share it. They live in it just like they do, just like the other people do. وَلَمْ يُشَارِكْهُمْ أَهْلَ الدُّنْيَا فِي آخِرَتِهِمْ. But the people of dunya will not share in the hereafter with them. But in this world, they share. They live with who? With the people of dunya. My friends, they live it up, they enjoy it just like the people of dunya do. They enjoy it just like they are doing, and they're also the same thing. La ilaha illallah. Allah says in the Quran, let me read this ayat for you before I go forward with this letter, right? Allah says this. He says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. He says, who has made the enjoyments of the dunya haram on you? Who said it's haram? The enjoyments of dunya. He says, قُلْ هِيَ, these enjoyments, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي حَيَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. These enjoyments, this entertainment, this enjoyment is for whom? Those who believe in this dunya. It is for those who believe in this dunya, and only for those who believe in the hereafter. Meaning in this dunya, they enjoy the enjoyments and pleasures of this world with the people of dunya. But there, it will only be theirs. Meaning they will be the only one enjoying in the hereafter. La ilaha illallah. This is an ayat of the Quran. Let me go forward, right? So that you understand how Allah and how the Imams deal with this subject. Now let me go on with this letter of what Imam Ali is trying to say here. Send the loud salawats. Now obviously these words are a little bit strong. So, you know, a lot of, as I said, muttaqi people haven't heard this, or religious people haven't heard this. If they had, their whole idea of what taqwa is will change. And Imam Ali is describing who? The people who are muttaqi. He says, "Anna al-muttaqi," that the muttaqi are like this, right? So he says, "Sakanu dunya bi afdali ma sukinat." Now, sakunu means the places of living. Maskan means house. He says, their homes, who are these people? Muttaqi. Their homes are better than the homes of the people of dunya. Their homes are better than the homes of the people of dunya. Wa akaluha ba'avvale ma'okilat. And their food is better than the people of the dunya. They eat better food than the people of dunya. وَلَّبِسُوهَا بِأَفْضَلِ مَا لُبِسُوا. And they wear better clothes than the people of dunya. They wear better clothes than the people of dunya. وَتَزَوَّجُوا بِأَفْضَلِ مَا تُزَوَّجُوا. And their spouses are better than the people of dunya. وَرَكَبُوهَا بِأَفْضَلِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. And now, rakabu means to ride. So their rides, let me put it this way, their cars are better than the cars of kuffar.
Ya Allah.
Oh, ilaha illallah. But Imam, what are you saying, you know? That we need to have good homes and good clothes and good all these things, you know? Yes, Imam is saying, if you are muttaqi. If you are not, then that's a whole different situation.
Right.
If you are not muttaqi, then you can do whatever you want. But if you are muttaqi, then these are the qualities of those who are pious. Now tell me, right? What? How did we imagine what taqwa is before hearing what Imam Ali is saying? What did you understand by piety before you heard this letter of Imam Ali speaking? It's obvious, right? You know, you're thinking that, you know, there are people, you know, who go around and having a hard time and this and that. But here's one thing. Let me raise a valid question, right? So that we can actually ask this. I will ask Imam Ali that, Imam Ali, you're saying these things, but really, why was your lifestyle different? I mean, did Imam Ali live like this? And he's Imam al-Muttaqin, right? Is Imam al-Muttaqin, did he live like this? No. This question, I mean, it's a valid question, right? You're saying these things, but you're not acting on it. It's not there. The same question was asked to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. A person came to him and said, "Look at you. You dress in these fine clothes and these good clothes. You are like this, and your grandfather Ali used to live like a hermit. He ate hard bread. He did all these things." You know, like Imam Ali used to eat hard bread, right? And some people try to emulate that. I was once invited to, you know, I had a friend in Iran, you know, he was a sheikh, you know, alim. And he invited me home, right? And so when I went home, it was, you know, dinner time, right? So what happened is that, you know, he invited me for dinner, so there was like chicken and bread, you know, like normal bread, naan, right? And then, you know, he had some hard bread there, you know, made of barley. Now, this is the bread that Imam Ali used to eat, you know, like for example, usually, I mean, you hear about this all the time. He used to eat hard bread, barley bread, he used to break it up and eat it and this and that. So he used to eat that, you know, so, you know, he said, well, the chicken and the naan is for you. I eat only the barley bread, the hard bread, because that's the sunnah of Imam Ali, right? So I'm like, all right, you know, let me enjoy the chicken more for me, you know. All right, let me enjoy the chicken. So I start eating, you know. There's no taruf with me, you know. Whatever, you know. Let's, you know. And so I started eating the chicken, the bread, and you know, he started to crack the hard bread, the barley bread. And then, you know, he goes on to now say it, you know, this is the sunnah. I said, alhamdulillah, good for you, you know. You do, you know, that's really good that you do that. He said, but you know what? Nowadays, you know, this bread is so expensive. There's only one guy in Qom who makes it, and it's a luxury item right now. But what? Yes, it's more expensive than the food you're eating.
Yeah.
Bro, I think you missed the whole point. You missed the whole point. That's not why Imam Ali was doing that. You know, I mean, there's one guy in Qom who makes this barley bread and he sells it as a expensive item. And people go there to buy it to do the sunnah of Imam Ali. I said the sunnah wasn't about the hard bread, man. The sunnah was about eating the food that poor people eat. Right? That was a sunnah. So obviously he missed the point altogether. So this person who asked Imam Sadiq, right? This person who asked Imam Sadiq, right? He asked him, your father, he dressed poorly and all these things, and look at you. You're dressed in these fine clothes and looking this light. So you know what Imam Sadiq said? Understand this, my friends. From here we can understand what should be our path. He did not justify his actions. He justified Imam Ali's actions. He says, listen, Imam, my grandfather, Imam Ali did that because of certain circumstances that he lived in. In other words, he was the ruler of the people. The people had access to him, and he, as a leader of the people, lived like the lowest amongst them. If you are not the ruler of the people, then it means that the normal way is what I am doing. In other words, what Imam Ali did was dictated by circumstances. What Imam Sadiq was doing was the norm of a believer. That is what a believer is. He's trying to explain that. What I am doing is the norm. Why don't you think the other imams did what Imam Ali did? His lifestyle was dictated by circumstances. Understand this. And hence, when you look at it, how does a mu'min want you? How does Islam want us to live? Allah says, enjoy life. Why do we enjoy life? That will come later. But enjoy life. Allah is demanding us. Are you happy? We say, Allah, you know, no. Why aren't you happy? And if you're happy and you say, yes, I'm happy. No. Be happier. Enjoy more. Take more pleasure. That's how Allah is dealing with us. La ilaha illallah. That will change our whole attitude towards everything we do in life. If you can just understand that it's Allah who demands that we have fun. Why aren't you having fun? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We should not view religion in a very simplistic manner, my friend. Some people, I mean, many people, when they view religion, they view it with a, you know, like in a crude way, in a very naive way, not understanding that Islam is sophisticated. Islam is sophisticated. It deals with human beings. Human beings are not like cows. You know, a cow is like, you know, the most exciting part of its day is trying to find the, you know, a good grass to chew on, you know. That's a cow, right? And there are some people who are just, their most exciting time is just looking for good grass, you know. They're like cows. That's a cow. That's simple, simplistic, you know, it doesn't have a lot of brain, you know. You know, that's what it is. Humans are not like that. We are different. We are sophisticated. Allah's message for us is sophisticated. We need to look at this message in a much deeper and more profound way. Then we will understand it. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, Allah is like our master. We are the servants. You know what that means? It means that, for example, your mother, right? Your mother, she cares about you. Right? She cares about you in the sense that if you're not feeling good, she's concerned. If you're not happy, she's concerned. And they said that, you know, Allah is has the 70 times of love that a mother has. In fact, that's just a saying, you know, how much Allah cares about us is really, you know, we can't even imagine how much Allah cares about us. People in general, look at how much Allah cares about us. When He asks you, how are you doing? It's not like someone you meet on the street and say, so how are you, you know, like you care, you know. Why are you even asking that? You don't even care you're asking, you know, or I'm just being polite, you know. When Allah asks you, how are you, He actually means it. He actually is concerned about us. That's why when we deal with Allah, it shouldn't be like how we deal with other people. Oh yeah, Allah, I'm okay, you know. No, I mean, Allah wants more than that. You know? I'm really concerned about you. Really care about you. La ilaha illallah. If we can just understand that, my friends. And from there, when we see Allah asking us, why aren't you happy? He is concerned. Let's look at those who took pleasure in life. Let's look at those who took pleasure in life, you know. You know, Imam Hussein was the sweetheart of Fatima. He was Fatima's sweetheart. Yes, he became a refugee. He was dragged around as a refugee, homeless. And when he went through that, you see, have you noticed how much he has overwhelmed our lives? Look at you all. How much has he overwhelmed your life? Look at your relationship that he has with you. You know how much he cares for you. Really, my friends. You know, you who can't get enough of Imam Hussein. You can't get enough of saying Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. And still, he has overwhelmed your hearts. You know, just taken over. It's true that Imam Hussein's children have become homeless. But I want you to notice the homes they have made in your heart. Notice the homes that they have made in our hearts. Do you see those homes? La ilaha illallah. Sometimes we really don't see things the way they should be seen. You know, you cry for Imam Hussein. You came here to remember the children of the Prophet, the children of Fatima. You came here to do that, and you have done it. But really, when you leave here and you will go back home, and you have gone back every time there's a majlis, you went back home, I've seen you cry, I've seen you shed tears, I've seen you weep, I've seen you become sad, but I've not seen you say you're welcome. Why didn't you say you're welcome? Why should we say you're welcome, Maulana? Because Fatima is saying thank you to you. Fatima Zahra is saying thank you to you. She's saying thank you for crying for my baby. Thank you for weeping for my son. Why did? At least say you're welcome. At least say you're welcome, Fatima. Maybe we'll be ashamed. You know, Muslim ibn Aqil, when he was in front of Ibn Ziyad and he asked for water, and they brought him water, and as he went to drink the water, the punches that he took in the face had broken his face, so the blood that was oozing out of his wounds dropped into the water. He looked at the blood drop into the water, it made the water najis. Made the water najis, he looked at that and started crying. He started crying. I don't know what he was imagining. I don't know what he was seeing. But he started to cry. And as soon as he started crying and tears came into his eyes, they asked him, "So why are you crying for? If you were so weak, you shouldn't have stood up. You shouldn't be crying. You know, be a man and at least don't cry." He says, "I'm not crying for my life. I'm not afraid of that." He says, "Then why are you crying?" He said, "Because Hussein trusted me. Hussein trusted me. And now I wrote a letter to him to come here, and he's going to listen to me and come here. And he's going to put himself in amidst these demons and wolves that are waiting here to chew on his flesh. I am just sad. I'm just embarrassed. I'm just ashamed in front of Hussein that he has trusted me and I could not fulfill his trust." This is Muslim ibn Aqil crying. He is crying because he's ashamed in front of Hussein, that Hussein trusted him with something and that he could not carry out Hussein's trust. I will tell Muslim ibn Aqil, don't be ashamed, Muslim. Don't be ashamed. You know why? Because you know everyone is ashamed in front of Hussein. Everyone falls short of Hussein. Don't you see Abbas lying by the river banks? He's ashamed in front of Hussein. And he said, "Hussein, I'm sorry. I could not do what your children asked me to do." He's ashamed in front of Hussein. The whole world is ashamed in front of Hussein. Everyone is ashamed in front of Hussein. Look at Zainab on the day of Arba'een when she comes to the grave of Hussein and she's crying and she's saying, "I'm sorry, Hussein. I'm sorry, my brother. I have lost your trust in Sham. I could not fulfill your trust." سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. يا محمود بحق محمد، يا الله بحق علي، يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطمة، يا محسن بحق حسن، يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسين. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand your guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. ماتم حسين.